I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the harborfront in Morro Bay, California. Come along and join me as we visit with Larry Newland, who's the executive director and president of the Morro Bay Maritime Association. Tell us about some of the things that you have down here already out in the open air.
Well, we have the precursor to the actual Maritime Museum of Morro Bay right now, some static outdoor displays. We have the DSRV Avalon Rescue Submarine, one of two that were built by the U.S. Navy. We also have a U.S. Coast Guard rollover surf boat that actually operated out of Morro Bay in the 1980s. And we just put out in June the tug Alma, which is a 48-foot 1920s tug that was a part of the whole maritime scene here on the Central Coast and has some roots in World War II action.
I understand it saved some lives right off the Cayucas coast.
It did. A couple of weeks after Pearl Harbor, there was a Japanese submarine, one of several, that was patrolling the local waters, and a tanker, a Union oil tanker, was headed north to Vancouver, Washington from Avila. And early on the morning on December 23rd, the submarine came up along its stern and then broadside and fired a torpedo or two and sunk it. And it's on the bottom of about 900 feet of water up near Piedras Blancas, about 4 miles off the coast.
And it's still sitting on the bottom.
The tug at that time was moored off of the Cayucas Pier, and the late Murrow Molinari and crew members were dispatched by the owner to go out and investigate, and they pulled off several of the crew members and lifeboats and took them back to the Cayucas Pier.
So a war hero right here in the waterfront of Morro Bay.
That's right. And during the war, after that event, Merle told us years ago that he was employed by his company to tow targets out in Estero Bay. They had these barges with targets on them, and people would fire from the beach. And so he was part of a shooting gallery up and down the beach out here. And then for years afterwards, it was a line boat and a tender, worked for Sylvester Tugs, and they were out of Morro Bay. And they actually went out of business when the oil port went away in Estero Bay, and they donated the vessel to us.
So back here to the waterfront, the Embarcadero in Morro Bay, we're right across from the Great American Fish Company, right on the waterfront. This is the location of the Maritime Museum physical building, but it doesn't exist yet other than a slab. So tell us about that vision and plan.
Well, the concrete slab for the first of two buildings is in, and we expect to be in construction on that building mid to late next summer. The vision is to have an additional building a little bit north of here that will be big enough to actually put the submarine and the Alma inside, but we want to get something on the ground sooner rather than later, and so we're excited about hosting the San Salvador Galleon later this month as a fundraising opportunity to help capitalize this small building.
Let's talk a little more about the San Salvador. I understand that's being constructed or was constructed in San Diego, and that's where it is right now, but it's planning to come up this way shortly.
That's correct. The Maritime Museum of San Diego embarked on this project several years ago and spent the last 5 years building this $11 or $12 million full-scale representation. And I don't use reproduction because it's a term that they don't use, because in Cabrillo's day, they didn't build from line drawings. It was all in the shipwright's head. Mm-hmm. It was sort of design build. So they had to do a lot of painstaking research with the historians and naval architects and engineers and look at the archives back in Seville, in Mexico City, in Guadalajara, to get the best idea about what Cabrillo's flagship galleon would have looked like.
Cabrillo played a seminal role in the early exploration of the California coast and came through here.
He did. He's credited as the first European to do a maritime reconnaissance of the California coast. 1542, he left Navidad, Mexico, and came up the coast. Did go past Morro Bay, probably as far as Drake's Bay, and he turned around. Really bad weather, slow going with a square rig galleon going up the coast, as you can imagine, in October. He ended up dying on the voyage. And it's kind of mysterious as to what happened to him. Some people say that he was buried on San Miguel Island. Others say he might have been cast overboard. His grave site was never found. But he is a rather mysterious character in California history.
Do they know whether the San Salvador came in the Morro Bay Harbor?
Yeah, we know it did not. There was never any contact with the indigenous people of Central Coast with San Salvador. There was in San Diego with the Kumeya. But he did go by and it is highly likely that he saw the Morro rock outcropping, but we know that he did not stop here.
So let's talk a little bit about the specifics at the end of this month when the San Salvador comes here. What will happen? Will they have rides on the boat?
Well, the vessel will be arriving on the 29th of September, and we have a large fanfare planned for that. There'll be a sail out that's being organized by members of the Morro Bay Yacht Club. There are some photographers. One, I understand, is renting a helicopter to go out to sea and take pictures of it. The Salinian Indians have built two reed boats, some of their historic watercraft, and they're going to do a paddle out to the harbor mouth. So it'll be a big fanfare. It'll come in on the 29th and be berthed at the South T Pier, adjacent to the Great American Fish Company restaurant. And starting the next day on the 30th, she'll be open for tours. We are also hosting a gala fundraiser using the Papagallo dinner cruise boat and the San Salvador to launch our fundraiser campaign, and it's called the 1542 Navigator Circle. So if people are interested in getting involved with that, they should let us know. But it's basically a founders group, which will include tapas on the Papagallo, on the San Salvador. The whole T Pier has been rented. There'll be music and so forth. But it provides people the opportunity to get in on the ground floor and get their name on the wall of the building as a founder.
Very cool. And if somebody in the San Salvador is here and tied up a family or whatnot, they wanted to go aboard and just poke around, is there a ticket entry?
Yes, they can. They can. I believe it's $5 for kids and $7 for adults. There'll be interpretive displays on the dock, and they'll actually get to walk through the vessel with the San Diego Maritime Museum folks and a lot of our own volunteers, I might add. And we have a volunteer cadre of probably about 85 or 90 people so far that have signed up for training, and they'll be posted on the boat or on the dock. There'll be all sorts of T-shirts and things of that nature for sale. And then we'll have our operation across the street over here as well, both weekends, bookending that week when they're here.
Dates once again.
They're arriving on the 29th of September. Tours go from the 30th through October 9th. The vessel will be leaving Morro Bay, headed south October 10th. But it will be open during the week at about 10 to 6 at the South T Pier. They can go on our website. There's a link to buy tickets. You can actually purchase the time when you want to come as well, a little bit like Disneyland and FastPass, that sort of thing. So just go to the Morro Bay Maritime Museum website.
And that is?
MorroBayMaritime.org. You'll see something on there. Click the link. It'll link you through. You'll see a calendar you can purchase. But you can also just show up and purchase here.
Very cool. Larry Newland, Executive Director of the Morro Bay Maritime Museum Association. What a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin reporting from Knoxville, Tennessee. Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada. Kim Schneider from Michigan. Elaine Masters in San Diego. Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon. Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas. And Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.